AO Rankings. Okay, welcome back to the Fantasy A-League podcast. My name's Cody, with me is Jake. Jake, how are you on this fine Tuesday afternoon?
Going very, very well, Cody, thank you. How are you?
Yep, doing well. A-League, hey, A-League, let's switch our minds. We've just been talking some other stuff, so... Yeah, we're here for a podcast about A-League fantasy, Jake.
Probably could have got ready for it before we...
I got a little bit ready. I got a few things ready, so let's just get into things. General thoughts of the round, double chalk and salted caramel award. Only four games this week, Jake. There was no Sydney, Perth or Melbourne victory, so I suppose scores should have been a little bit less this week, hey, in fantasy.
Yes,
and they probably were.
And I think they were, yep. Yeah. We'll get into team of the week and possible scores and everything. It was a bit lower
than normal. Did you watch any of the games?
I watched the Brisbane Roar game, Western United, and I watched... bits and pieces of the Wellington-Melbourne City game.
Yeah, I think I watched
it. Because I looked at it and said, well, Sydney and Perth are probably the team, informed teams. They're not playing. Probably the best looking on paper game was Wellington-Melbourne City. So I was keen to see how that one went.
I think we'll get into the round review, but I think I watched a bit of it, all four games, little bits and pieces. So my double chalk award, Jake, goes to Mohamed Touré, the middle child. I think there's only three, but... we obviously know about Touré. What's his first name?
Al-Hassan
Touré, the older
lit
Touré.
Lit up the FFA Cup.
Yeah, now his younger brother, 15 years of age. I mean, what grade of school are we in when we're 15?
What's
year
that?
10
I don't
in
even
Queensland?
Know. Yeah, 10, 9 or 10.
I couldn't imagine playing in the A-League, and he doesn't really look like a 15-year-old. They obviously develop quite quick. And apparently his younger brother is 14 and is in some sort of, is in the Adelaide United setup
as well. I can't remember the player's name or the team that tweeted it, but one of the teams, NPL teams, put out through the week, like a post about one of their young players who's just started and scored a goal, and they were raving like, debut, 17-year-old scores goal. And I thought, that's impressive enough. And yet he's 2 years older than this kid that scored in the A-League.
In the A-League, yeah.
Incredible.
I mean, you don't want to overhype things, overhype players. We do that a lot in the media and Australian football, because as soon as you get a young player who's doing well, you start getting excited. And I mean, he's only 15, but yeah, it's obviously a lot of promise. And I think someone said to him, I think it was their coach or someone pointed out that, you know, don't get too ahead of yourself. It's one game or one and a half game, one and a bit games. And I think the last youngest scorer is now playing in the NPL. So it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you're going to go on to bigger and better things. But either way, that's my double chalk award. Jake, what's yours?
I actually gave it to Wellington Phoenix this week with a win over over Melbourne City, sorry. Melbourne City, who I guess a lot of people thought would be, or at least one of the teams up there, second place, maybe challenging for Sydney. I don't think anyone thinks that they were going to catch Sydney. But Wellington just keep impressing. I don't know that they were too impressive the whole game, quality-wise, but just racked up another win against quality opposition. So.
What I was impressed about, Jake, they played at Eden Park in Auckland and they got over 15,000 people, which is great. I think that's fantastic. And there was a few shouts on for maybe, obviously we want a team in Canberra and, you know, there's arguments for a second Brisbane team, Adelaide, all that sort of stuff. But potentially one day, instead of getting
Auckland,
rid of Wellington, bring in Auckland, get that derby going. That'd be pretty cool.
Well, I think, I don't think long-term probably Wellington or New Zealand is going to be part of it. I don't necessarily think they should be. But look, if you're going to have them in there's an argument to be made that they should have a derby. Especially when you get crowds like that.
Yeah, I rate it. The Salted Caramel Award, have you got one of these three?
Yeah, actually, same game, opposite team. So Melbourne City, I gave Salted Caramel. Not so much because, I mean, I expected more of them in that game. But it's more that... looking at the table, the title race is done, isn't it?
Yep.
I mean, we'll probably touch on the table in a minute and all the points, but Melbourne City being in second were probably the only team with even a slight chance. Them and Perth Glory still a couple of games in hand, but Melbourne City were one of them and they've dropped 3 points and I can't see them catching Sydney.
Well, Perth played two less games than Melbourne City and are only 1 point behind, but Perth played an extra game to Sydney and are 11 points behind them. So they're their closest chasers for sure. And yeah, there's no way unless Sydney complete.
Yeah, look, nobody's catching Sydney, but it would have been nice to have those two teams kind of pushing them right to keep winning, I guess.
With Adelaide and Wellington winning on the weekend, Jake, it really does heat up the race for, well, the top five, really. Brisbane are still in there, I suppose. But Adelaide and Wellington have a game in hand to Melbourne City. And if they win that, if they both win their games, they will be on equal points with Melbourne City. So,
and if Brisbane, because they've got one, Brisbane in sixth, if they win their game in hand against the game they have in hand that Melbourne City don't. That was really the wrong way of saying that. But anyway, if they win that game, they're only 2 points behind Melbourne City in second as well.
Yeah, I can't see the Raw getting in the top, chasing other teams, but I can see the Raw finishing in sixth where they are now. Anyway, my Salted Caramel Award goes to Western United as, just as a club. Their performance on the weekend was, and I think all the commentators were saying it, just lacklustre, disappointing. I think there was a fair few people perhaps challenging the team and how they would go later on in the season, like now over Christmas, over the new year when the hot periods come in, the summer they got an ageing squad. Plus they lost a lot of their team. I think there was five or six players have left their squad through the year. And it's really starting to show. Their performance was not good at all. They're now outside the top six. And, Jake, I can't really see them coming back.
Well, they lost to Brisbane, who were in sixth. Mm. So that just opens up a gap.
Yeah, Brisbane, you know, didn't play that well, but they got the result away from home. And Western United, yeah, pretty disappointing, to be honest. After such a positive start in the first opening five or six rounds, they've really dropped off now. And what are they now? They've won one out of their last five. I've only got their last five results, and they've had three losses in there. So, yeah, they're not doing too well. They get my Solid Caramel Award this week. Fantasy Jake, TBO Rankings League, you're still on top, aren't you?
I still am on top, and I've opened up a very small gap compared to last week.
Yeah, because Liam from Moreen United, who's been a constant feature in our top three, he got a little bit less than you. You got 112 points.
Yep.
I also got 112 points.
First time we've had a draw at the top.
Cam, 88. He didn't come last.
Didn't come last. That's a win. Cam. That's a win.
That's a big win for Cam. And Russ, on my notes here with only one S, Russ got 80 points. So he bought us cookies today. Yep. So we split. We didn't make him buy
double.
Split
the winnings.
We split the winnings. So well done to Cam, not pulling in last spot. So as I just mentioned, Jake, you're in first still. I'm up to seventh. I'm very happy.
Do you remember what you were after week one?
No.
Like, you weren't even the top 100, were you?
No, I was 130. Oh, yeah, 130-something. Yeah, or even 100. I went as low as 150-something, I think.
It's just been a slow climb.
It really has been, and yeah, it's been spectacular to watch on the rise.
Well, it's hard to climb first place.
It's not over yet, though. I'm coming for you, Jake. I'm not that far off. I mean, the points difference is, I think, 100 and...
Too many.
It's not too many. There's still 10 rounds to go. Plenty of time. Russ is in 15th. Cam is up about 10 spots. He's in 68th. Okay. So he's slowly climbing. He needs to keep doing, getting some, not coming last, I guess. So this week, Jake, the weekend just gone. And the TPO rankings team, the fan pick team, they scored 96. So they had a pretty good round, and they're in 19th. So they're still hovering around. And before I go into the trades and stuff and the point, how my players went, so Jake's in first out of the league and fourth overall on the website, yeah?
Yeah, I believe so. Yep, went up one spot.
Liam's in second and Brendan in third. So the same three as last week. I think Bernie's still in fourth. Who have you got it there?
Yes.
Yeah, who's in
fifth? Is with Alex, who I think
what's his team name?
Ask Your Mum.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's moved up a spot. He got 102.
I think Jade is...
Yeah, well, Matthew, his team's name is Jade.
Matthew Heath, who scored... Shout out to Matt Heath, scored for Moreton Bay Jets last night in the first minute against Sunny Coast
Wasted
Wanderers.
Wasted no time,
And I'm in behind him in seventh. So, and the winner of end of the season, as I'm sure you're all aware, wins a total compression pack worth $200. So,
very cool.
At this point, it's Jake, but I don't think... I'm a strong believer that Jake will not win the league in 10 rounds time. Jake, heading into the round, I was looking to make a few trades, and I did. I traded out Traore from the Melbourne Victory for Georgeski because I had five players out this week.
Yep.
And I did end up making this trade, which is probably didn't need to in the end, but I traded out Fornaroli for Berisha just because I wanted to have 11 starting players.
Yep.
And I
Berisha
saw that.
Berisha only got 4 points, was it?
Four or six. Yeah, 4 points. So it wasn't really worth it, but you never know.
You know what? It won you three cookies, didn't it?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Without the 4 which points, I would have won outright.
Which I didn't really need, but did you yeah, remember I was going into the round and you went, you're not making any trades, and said, Jake, I bet you will. And you did, didn't you?
So I made a trade.
And you didn't need to either.
No, I did. I did Well, this trade got me six more points. So same as you, pretty much. I, on Saturday, Was worried about Diamante not playing. I already had three non-starting plays, and if Diamante didn't play, I wasn't going to have 11.
And he did start on the bench.
And he started on the bench. He ended up coming on getting 2 points. Yeah. I traded him out and got Petrados in. And look, it only netted me an extra 4 points, but Petrados went up about $60,000 as well. So I'm not unhappy about that. And I won't trade him back in at this stage.
Diamante?
Yeah, not because I don't think he's a good option. If I still had him, I'd keep him. But at this point, I'm happy with the players I've got.
Okay. All right. Well, we're about two-thirds of the way through the season. So you should hopefully, particularly after this round coming and you get those Sydney-Perth players back in, you should really be starting to look and go, okay, I'm pretty much
this is set the winning squad for the year. Yep.
And you only change perhaps some injuries or whatever, because Sydney and Perth don't have any pies left. However, Jake, they do play Champions League. Melbourne and Perth play tonight, and Sydney play tomorrow night. Again, tonight, shout out
Tuesday,
against
Tuesday,
Yokohama
yep.
F Marinos against Ange's team
mm-hmm.
on KO Sports too. So if you're up for that, I'm hopefully going to watch a bit of that game. That should be a bit of fun. So watch that game and see who plays, see who any injuries and stuff like that, because that could impact this coming weekend.
Yep.
So the round review quickly. Friday night, 6:30, Adelaide hosted Central Coast Mariners. I predicted Adelaide were going to win that 3-2. Jake, what did you predict?
I predicted a 2-0 win to Adelaide.
Oh, and they got up 2-0. Yep. Perfect. Apparently Central Coast, I watched bits and pieces of this. This is probably the game I watched the least out of the weekend, but apparently Central Coast weren't too bad. They were a bit unlucky, but Adelaide just had a couple of chances, and Ryan McGree with two assists. He ended up on 20 points and I captained him, so I got 40.
Yeah, I messed up. Not my captain, but yep. Missed out on that one.
Saturday, 4 p.m., Knicks hosted City. I predicted 2-2. What did you say?
I did too.
Yeah.
This is on the
list. That's right.
We had the same.
Yeah. But the Knicks got up 1-0. Who scored? That was the Hooper cross to David Ball.
David Ball, yep.
Yeah, the two English players setting up there. I had Davila. He got 8 points because he got the clean sheet. Oh, and we also both had Marinović, the keeper.
Yeah, 16 points.
So well done there. I'm very happy about that. And there was talk of him, I forget which podcast I was listening to, I think it was a Fox Sports podcast yesterday, they were sort of going through who's your keeper of the season, and I think people are still putting, what's the Western Sydney?
Curto.
No, he's the Western United.
Oh, Western Sydney.
Lopa.
Yep.
They're putting Lopa as just number one, but Marinović at a close second, which is interesting that Liam Reddy and Redmayne are in the discussion, considering...
Clean sheets.
Yeah.
Surely you think... Well, Reddy's got a whole bunch of clean sheets, hasn't he?
I guess these two keepers are just in teams that are making a lot. He's had to make a lot of saves, and I do remember him and Lopar making a lot of saves. Lopar hit the goal, as we'll just actually may as well get into it now. The next game, 6:30, Western Sydney Wanderers versus Newcastle Jets. They drew 1-1, and he was beaten at the near post, which probably a saveable. Did you see it? The goal for Matt Miller, who we both have in defence. 19 points. Thank you very much, Matt Miller. He should have probably saved that, Lopa. I predicted Western Sydney Wanderers to win that 2-1. What did you say?
I predicted 1-1.
Oh, you're doing all right.
I've done very well.
Two exact results so far.
Yep.
And then the only game left was on a Sunday. Western United, as we mentioned, hosted Brisbane. That was at a 3 p.m. kickoff. I think it was played in Ballarat or something? Was it? They play out a lot of different grounds at the moment, don't they?
You could see it's more of an oval shape as well. Fans had to sit a bit away from the field.
Sitting on the grass and stuff.
Yep.
What did you predict for this game?
I had 2-1 to Brisbane, so I got the
result. Oh, you got the result. You got 3 out of 4. I only got 1 out of 4 this week. I said 0-0 this one. So, yeah, Brisbane got up 1-0. Jake, we've only got the one question this week from Dylan, and I guess we could probably take this a couple of different ways, but he's asked, any good differentials for the rest of the season?
The way that I take it is, what are your options? And I guess when he says differentials, the only other way that I would take that is to be different than most people. Because if you look at some of the players, you've got your obvious choices, but they're owned by such a high percentage of people. Like Lafondre is owned by 42% of people. So if you want to catch up, if you're not in first place...
Yeah. What players can you look at?
Yeah, who can you look at to maybe be a bit different?
That's a hard one. That's a good one.
I'm looking at the top players ranked by the whole season and kind of looking at what percentage of people own them. They're all, all the top players that you'd expect are owned by at least kind of 25% of people. Mm. Maybe one of the higher ones that's a bit lower owned is like a Ben Halloran, only 1 in 10 people own him.
Yeah.
Berisha is still only 15% of people have him.
He's expensive.
Barbarouses, I reckon, is not a bad shout.
And, yeah.
Only 8% of people have him, and he's got no more buys plus the catch-up game.
Yeah, true.
So I would potentially think about him. Even a couple like Brad Inman's another one, only owned by about 6% of people, but I don't know. He keeps scoring points, and Brisbane Roar have had a clean sheet this week again, but it's a tough one whether you think he's going to continue to score well.
Yeah, okay. So there's some good options there. Maybe just... Yeah, maybe have a look at the player's own percentage, Dylan, and those players Jake just mentioned, especially if they're a Western Sydney or a Sydney FC player, who maybe, I think Barbarouses is a good one because not many people probably give him a shout because they've got Lafondre in their team.
Yep.
But now it doesn't matter after the they've got no more buys left in that catch-up game.
Yep.
He's probably a very good one to look at. And but yeah, definitely have a look at the Champions League is the only thing that might throw a few spanners in the works there. Anything else on that question, Jake?
They're the main ones there, I think. Like I said, you can keep going down that list. Anyone that is owned by maybe 10% of people or less and has scored a lot of points is probably worth consideration if you're looking to be a bit different.
Cool. Jake, your stats. Let's get into it.
All right. So start with team of the week. It's a possible score this week of 179, which I think is the lowest we've seen. So you and I with 112 is
a pretty
reasonable result. And we, at 112, were in the top 1% of everybody on the website.
Hmm.
So most got below 100.
Yeah.
So it definitely was, don't be upset if you got a lower scoring round this week.
Yeah.
The formation, this is the first time we've had this, 5 defenders.
Yeah, wow.
5-2-3 formation.
Okay.
Very lopsided to...
Well, there's 3 clean sheets.
Yep. So that formation is Marinovic in goals. Your 5 defenders were Matt Miller, obviously with that goal, Jakobsen from Adelaide, Tom Aldred, and Jack Hingett from Brisbane Roar, and then Jordan Elsie as well from Adelaide.
Yep.
The 2 midfielders who sneaked into the team, Riley McGree,
he snuck into the team.
Well, as in only 2 midfielders is what I mean. So McGree and Brad Inman.
Well, how many did Inman get?
He got 12 points.
Geez, that's not very much for a midfielder to make team of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the 3 forwards were Mitch Duke with 15 points, David Ball with 14, and George Blackwood with 14, which, did you see his goal?
Yeah.
Absolute rocket.
Yeah. See, not many people would have those 3. Maybe Duke would be the highest, I guess.
Even percentage. He's only owned by about 9% of people. So.
Yeah, wow.
Or 11, something like that.
No wonder there were so many poor scores.
Yep. Okay, so team of the year, I don't think this has happened before, 0 changes. So it's the exact same team of the year that we had a week ago. So I'm actually going to read them out really quickly because I don't think I have for a few weeks. So these are the top scoring players in a formation that fits for the entire year. Liam Reddy is the goalkeeper.
Still?
Yep, 2 defenders, and that's Vutrick and Alex Grant, both from Perth. So you've got the goalkeeper and 2 defenders from Perth, all of those clean sheets. 5 midfielders, Ben Halloran, Diego Castro, Dimi Petratos, Riley McGree, and Ulysses Davila.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 3 forwards are Jamie McLaren, Adam Lafondre, and Bruno Fornaroli.
Yep.
Let's go into some trades this week. And again, it's Tuesday, so there's still half a week of trades left to go. Yeah. Most traded out players.
Who's got the bye this week? It's City.
Yep.
City have the bye.
So the top 3 are all City players. You've got Bouzanis, given he's now missed the last 2 rounds. Jamie McLaren and Craig Noon. I guess they're dropping him for probably 4. We'll get into him in a minute. But
interesting, Jake. We heard today a bit of a rumour that Bon Scott from Brisbane Strikers is training with City.
Yeah, goalkeeper.
So I wonder what that means for Bouzanis.
Yes, well, watch this space, I guess. The other ones traded out, Mila Usnich and Alhassan Toure. Maybe they're all dropping Alhassan Toure for his brother.
Yes.
Diamanti, after starting on the bench. Scott Jamieson, another City with a bye. Diego Castro, and I think this one's because even though Perth's back, he's got a very high break even, so he'll probably drop in value. Besar Berisha, who, same sort of thing, he's projected to drop quite a bit. And Milan Juric.
Okay.
Traded in.
Juric has dropped off the last 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, hasn't he? He had such a great start to the season.
He was in the top 3 players for quite a while there. He's down to $180,000.
He hasn't done anything for what seems like months. Well,
I guess Central Coast mustn't have got any penalties for
another true.
Weeks. The most traded in list is pretty much made up of Sydney and Perth with a couple of extras thrown in, and one of those is Riley McGree at the top after that 20 points that he got this round.
2 assists,
yep.
And clean sheet.
Yep. So you got Lafondre, Ryan Grant, Milos Ninkovic for Sydney all coming in. You got Fornaroli and D'Agostino for Perth.
Oh, yeah, that's a good shout.
Birigidi is the goalkeeper that people seem to be picking up because he's so cheap. He plays every week. Yeah. I mean, they're copying goals, but he's playing. Maybe that's enough. Matt Miller, Ola Toivonen, and Roy O'Donovan, which is an interesting one. I don't know if I would have put him in there, but he's
just
cheap.
Just for the Birigidi buyers, they do play Sydney FC this weekend.
Maybe they just want somebody who's... Well, to be fair, I guess if you're dropping Bouzanis, he's $100,000 more than Birigidi. Maybe.
Or maybe it's just your reserve. It's the reserve keeper to pick up some cash anyway. It's a good. Actually, that's a good move. I can't do it.
I'm looking at upgrading Bouzanis, but anyway, we'll touch on that later. Okay, the last thing I was going to do is the projected price rises. So if you're looking to bring somebody in and you need money, which at this point of the season, I don't know that most will need money, but it's...
People need trades more than money. Yeah. The people on the that have been reaching out on Facebook and stuff, it doesn't seem like they've got 3 and 4 trades left. I mean, you guys are in trouble. Yeah. I'd be nervous going out 3 trades.
I'm a little nervous at having 11 trades for 10
weeks. That's fine. You'll be fine.
Anyway, these players are all projected to go up quite a bit. D'Agostino is the biggest one, 77,000. Tom Aldred, Petrados, even though he went up 64,000 this round, projected to go another 46-ish.
And he's 370 at the moment.
Yep.
I can't believe you got rid of Petrados.
I got him back. Mladenovic for Brisbane Roar, young striker, scored that goal.
Wait, what's his name?
Mladenovic.
Oh, Mladenovic. Yeah.
Philip Curto, projected to go up. So if you're looking for a goalkeeper swap, he's about the same price as Bouzanis.
So yeah, right. And he starts
and he's projected to go up about 40,000. Joel King from Sydney, Gary Hooper, Mitch Duke, Andrew Redmayne, another goalkeeper choice, and George Blackwood. In the other direction, there's a few here that people probably should be careful of because I know some of these are owned by quite a few people or
property people. It doesn't matter if you're not looking to trade them. If you're just looking to hold them to
If you're going to hold them, who cares? If you're looking to buy them, maybe consider waiting. Mm. So Liam Reddy, supposed to go down about 50. Davila, for those who... To be honest, I don't know that people are still buying Davila. I think you've either got him already or...
He's had a few quiet weeks.
And he's still 400-odd plus $1,000. So if you don't have him already, you're probably not thinking about it.
I was looking this up before. He's leading the Alex Tobin Awards at the moment, so best player of the year. Wait, what's Johnny Warren? Is that the grand final?
I think that's the grand final, player of the grand final.
I thought that was something else. Well, whatever the player of the year is, I don't know who's it voted by, but it might be a Fox Sports one, or maybe it's a coach voted one, but he's leading. He's at number one.
Okay.
Yep.
And he's top of the fantasy pile as well for points scored. Vudryk from Perth. So if you're looking at trading in Perth players.
He's looking to go down.
Yep. 45,000.
Might be good for the next week.
Berisha, Alex Grant, Ben Halloran, and Scott Neville.
Halloran.
Yeah, he's
might pick him up next week.
Halloran's up to 475,000.
Jesus.
So he had a few rounds, scored some goals, shot up. He was never going to stay that high. But if you're looking at Halloran, wait a week.
Okay.
And that's what I've got for you.
Cool. Thank you very much for that, Jake. So upcoming round, we'll get into the games. But how many trades you got left, Jake?
I have 11 trades for 10 rounds left. Yep.
10 rounds. I've got 10 trades, which I'm happy with because... Yep. I've made 2 trades already this week.
Oh, so that's 10 after the 2?
Oh, hang on.
Are you down to 8 now?
Oh, I'm down to 8 now. Yeah. That's 8 because I've made 2 trades this week.
8 for 10.
I can reverse them still before the game kicks off. But I'm depending on the Asian Champions League games tonight and tomorrow. But otherwise, I'm going to keep it. I've traded out Craig Noone. I've had him from the start of the season. He's done all right for me, you know. Like, he's just been, every now and again, he'll score a goal. But it's finally time to go. I've been waiting for my moment. It's now. And I've also brought in Mile Jusinic 2 weeks ago. He's gone too. So
Craig Noone. You're making a big change to your front line.
Big time. Craig Noone and Mile Jusinic, bye-bye. In Fornaroli and Lafondre, who I've had only just traded out last round and round before.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that that's not an upgrade.
Well, that gives me a front line of Berisha. Actually, that's not my team. What have I done? Berisha, Fornaroli, and Lafondre. Which is a pretty good front line. The only one who's obviously missing there is McLaren. And I could have brought him in. He was the same price, if not less than some of those. But I just... Lafondre and Fornaroli, I don't have any more buyers left.
Fair enough.
And Jake, I do want to trade, as you just mentioned, a keeper. I want to bring either Liam Reddy or Redmayne in.
Yep.
I obviously can't do that this week, but I'll potentially.
Well, if you want Reddy, you don't want to do it this week.
Yeah, I'll wait until he goes down, maybe next week. Because you wouldn't think the keepers will trade, will swap in and out a lot with just because they got Champions League game. You wouldn't think keepers are usually the one. You never know. Keepers, coaches do weird things. It might just take a little knock, but
especially Popovic.
Yeah.
Maybe you're better off with Redmayne.
Yeah, maybe. I'll see what happens next week. But other than that, Jake, I look at my team and I go, man, okay, maybe Diamanti, maybe Ninkovic. But I can just put them on the bench if I'm not like 100% sure they'll start or something. But otherwise, my team's like, I'm done.
Fair enough.
I won't need to trade. So what are you looking
to do? Have
you
got any cash left over in case you
need to? I can't remember. Not a lot after those two trades, like 100 or so. So enough to get a good keeper in and then maybe one or two more trades if I need it. But my team's solid. I'm looking real good.
I'm looking even better. So I've got one trade in mind, and that's Mitch Duke out, and I was looking at Fornaroli. And that would give me a front three of McLaren, Lafondre, and Fornaroli. So same as yours, except you have Berisha instead of McLaren.
Which is a better trade.
I'd be very happy with that. Having said that, I know Mitch Duke's supposed to go up in value this week, so maybe I hold off. I'm not sure yet on that one.
He takes pens, as on the weekend, that's where his goal came from.
And I've got, so with the City bye this week, I've got two players.
And sorry, he has that catch-up game too.
Yeah.
Which is on the 28th, which is coming soon.
Yeah, it'll make up for the fact that they've got the bye.
That's coming in like 10 days' time. So wouldn't you just keep him until...
Possibly, yeah. I might wait and see how it goes. But
do it this weekend.
But that's a maybe, I'm not sure. But the one that I probably will do is Bouzanis for Redmayne.
Yeah.
It'll cost me about 60 grand to upgrade, but Redmayne's supposed to go up in value even more.
Yeah.
Sydney don't have a buyer plus a catch up, and they're top of the league, so pretty obvious. I actually have 600,000 cash sitting there, Cody, so I better.
It doesn't really matter what you do. Like
I can get
in terms of,
I can do any one or two upgrades that I want. So
yeah,
I figure I may as well do them and be happy with what I've got.
Cool. The TBO rankings team. This week we brought in Georgeski for Traore. Georgeski for someone else. I can't even remember who it was. Traore's still in the team.
Yeah.
And Berisha came in as well. So they got a front line of Berisha, McLaren, and Duke. Their midfield's actually identical to mine. So they're looking really good as well. And their back line's actually very similar to mine as well. So they're looking really good, Jake. I don't really know. I can't remember how much money they've got left, but they've got about 16 trades left. So they're fine. I'll have a look at them on Friday night before kickoff and see if they need to do any more trades. We did a lot of voting and stuff towards the start of the year when we were first initially picking the team and the initial trades. Now, sort of, to be honest, it's just laziness, but I couldn't be bothered asking.
It's a good enough team that we haven't really needed to.
Yeah, and from now on, yeah, I'll probably just manage it myself. But the listeners picked it at the start of the year, so doing all right. All right, predictions for the upcoming round. As we mentioned, Melbourne City have the bye, and Jake, they still have one more bye after this one, don't they?
Yes.
Round 28, I think, so the second last
game. Yeah, sounds right, and Victory have the bye in round 29.
Okay. So Friday night, there's two games. So the Knicks, oh, that's cool, 4 p.m. kickoff, so early one, guys. Get your trades in early because there's a game in Wellington versus Western United. On form, Jake, you'd go heavy Knicks, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I don't know how heavy.
This is the first game of the year, do you remember? Rudin went over.
That's right.
And they won their first game of the year. I think it was 2-1 or 1. Oh, it was a close game. Or maybe it was like 2-0 or something. What are you predicting?
It was, I'm going to have a look for you. 1-0 it was.
Yeah.
I think it'll be the reverse, but I think it'll be an extra goal. 2-0 to Wellington.
Okay, I'm saying 2-1 to Wellington.
Okay.
Later on that evening, two games Friday. God, I love that.
Not bad.
I don't know what I'm doing Friday. I probably won't watch it.
Well, you and I probably have a game on Saturday, so this way we miss less A-League.
Yeah, that's a good point. Western Sydney Wanderers are hosting Adelaide, the two red teams. What are you predicting, Jake? 6:30
How long can Wanderers keep underperforming? I mean, they had that draw with Newcastle, so it's not like they've been terrible. I'm going to go with Adelaide, though. I think they'll push to be the top four, and I think it'll be 1-0.
I said exactly the same, Adelaide 1-0. 4 p.m. Saturday, Brisbane are hosting Perth and Jake. It's at Redcliffe. I tell you what, if our game isn't on Saturday, if it gets washed out, I won't go in the rain, but...
Don't jinx it.
No, not washed out, but it's say if we're playing Sunday, I won't go, but...
If it rains enough Dolphin between Stadium, now and then to wash out our game,
yeah,
but it's actually quite nice on Saturday,
yeah,
we'll go to the game.
Yeah, maybe. It's a long way to go, yeah. But it's a nice stadium, and they're playing Perth.
I've heard they're expecting a decent crowd too.
So. Yeah, it's a good place to watch. I actually rate the idea of having a team out there. I like having a North Brisbane and a South Brisbane team.
Fair enough.
And have the Roar can be the South in quote city slash South, and then have a North team. Anyway, 4 PM kickoff. What are you predicting? Or maybe we wait and see what Perth do tonight.
No, I'm going to say Brisbane. It's going to be an upset. I think Brisbane will get up and it'll be 2-1.
I said 2-1 Brisbane.
Did you really?
We picked two in the same.
That's all right. You shouldn't put me on the spot. I keep picking the easy scoreline. 2-1 is the obvious one.
Yeah. All right, later on that evening, the Jets host the Victory. This will be interesting. Jets have got their new coach. Tell you what, they don't play terrible football, the Jets, for where they are on the table, second last. They create a lot of chances. They just haven't been scoring a lot until last week. They scored, I think, 4 goals. They scored a goal on the weekend against Western Sydney. O'Donovan's there now. Petrados is always a danger. What do you reckon this game will be?
Do you want to go first in case you pick the same and then that'll
force, no, because force I've already. No, you go.
All right, 2-1 to the Jets.
I said 3-2 to the Jets.
Okay.
So pretty similar, but I think it'll be a high-scoring game. I'm really interested to see how the Perth, Sydney and Victory manage their squads. I actually geek out on that stuff a little bit.
Victory is an interesting one as well because are they far enough away that you start?
I think if they lose this week, your season's done.
They're already 9 points behind Brisbane.
Yeah, and played an not anymore.
Same amount of games, but nine points outside of the finals.
With 10 games. I mean, you win 5 on the trot, you're back in it, but who's winning 5 games on
the trot? And they're not publicly going to say they've given up, but at some point you're stuck on. Maybe we save up.
Especially with Cruz out.
Yeah.
Another interesting one for folks at home. This might be a bit of a... No, I'd wait a week or two, but... Houlihan? What's his name? Houlihan? The Jets midfielder?
Yep.
Apparently he's nearly back to fitness.
Is that right?
He may even be included in this week's squad. Remember? The guy who, broke his ankle or something. Yeah. I think he's, 38 years old, but apparently he's quality. So just keep an eye out for that one. Did you say your prediction? 2-1, yeah, I said 3-2. Sunday, the only game.
No, I didn't give you mine.
Yeah, you did. You said 2-1.
Oh, for that one, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'm dropping ahead.
Sunday, the only game. Central Coast are hosting Sydney. Now, this one, top versus bottom, you go, Sydney will flog them. But I think the last game was actually a lot closer than everyone guessed. I can't remember the exact. I think it might have been 1-0 to Sydney. What are you going to say for this one?
4-0 Sydney.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Yeah? I'm saying 3-1 Sydney.
Okay.
I think they'll be too good. But Central Coast and Newcastle, those two teams, they're not terrible. They're just not getting results, as you sort of expect. But they're not playing terrible, crappy football. The terrible, crappy football at the moment is sort of reserved for West United and Western Sydney.
not wrong.
Yeah, they're just a bit disjointed. I don't know how you'd describe Newcastle and Central Coast. They're definitely not good enough, but they've got potential. And on their day, they could sort of take points off anyone. I just don't think Central Coast will be quite good enough for Sydney.
Fair enough. Again,
I don't know, Champions League, they got 6 games at least, don't they? Home and away?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
And this would be the first one. And they've got some tough games.
And the travel.
Sydney are Ange's team in Japan. Yeah.
I've said this to you before. I hope Ange's...
flog them.
Yeah, I hope they win easily.
I don't know who I want to win. I kind of want Sydney to win.
You get roasted for that. Those listeners at home, you're not allowed to go for other teams, are you?
Oh, righto, Simon Hill. Yeah. And I think Perth and Victory have both got one's playing. I think Perth have got FC Tokyo. One of them have FC Tokyo, and one of them's got FC Seoul.
Yeah.
So like the champions of.
And we were looking South at it before. You mentioned it, but FC. KO. So if you are interested.
Yeah, KO Sports. I found it in there. So yeah, they're going to be really interesting games. And then in the morning, Jake. There's actually, I know this is not A-League or Australia related, but there's UEFA Champions League on at 6 AM kickoff Queensland time. It's Atletico Madrid are hosting Liverpool. And then there's another really good game. Dortmund are hosting PSG. Yeah, so some good games there. Well, that's the podcast. Jake, anything you need to add to this discussion?
No, that sounds all easy. But as we have spoken about very briefly at the end of the last couple, NPLs are...
Yeah.
Starting or trying to kick off in Queensland.
Well, Victoria kicked off. Some entertaining results down there.
Yep,
hey?
And I believe South Australia is this weekend.
Yeah, and what about New South Wales? I thought New South Wales was this weekend. Maybe it's next weekend.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's the one after.
Well, there's some interesting results in Victoria. The Dandenong Derby, did you see that?
I saw the result.
Brendan Barnes came back with a winner in 90-something minutes. Altona versus Hume, there was about three red cards. Yeah.
Apparently the Dandenong Derby had about 2,000 people, and when he scored that winner in the end, it was chaos.
I love that. Love hearing that. South Melbourne got touched up by Heidelberg, 3-0.
Yeah.
I actually watched the highlights of that. South Melbourne had heaps of chances, and it was 1-0 till like 80-something minute, and then they conceded two late on. But they could have, by the looks of it, they could have had gone their way a bit better. In Queensland, we had the Strikers travel to Mackay. They got up 2-0, and there was one other game. And then
Olympic beat Easts 1-0, I believe.
No, it was 1-0.
Oh, I did finish 1-0, sorry.
Yeah, 1-0. Yep,
sorry. And there was a game last night as a catch-up.
Moreton Bay beat Sunny Coast. And there's some games tonight.
Is it?
Lions and Redlands. And I believe Capalaba and it might be the Raw.
Capalaba's first NPL game. Very good.
Yeah, so fun times.
Just double-checking, New South Wales NPL is the weekend after. Australia this weekend, New South Wales the weekend after, and probably some of the others very soon, if not the weekend after as well. So,
and weather permitting, FFA Cup this weekend, at least in Queensland, we're supposed to be playing Moggle Meerkats. And but again, it depends on the weather because it's predicted rain again, starting Friday and Saturday. But I hope we're getting on the paddock tonight for a training session, which will be fun, first time in about 2 weeks. So we will be starting that sort of podcast probably in about 2-3 weeks time. Yep. And doing more. We're going to actually do we've got a FFA Cup tipping group, Facebook group, and we're going to kick things off soon there again. A bit of a different format, a bit of a fun format this time, in a week or two or three. So thanks for listening, and we will see you this time next week. Say goodbye.
See ya.